Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Why don't you style your hair, Connor? See what styles you can come up with in the next 5 minutes.
Try and find a brush or something.
I can see that.
This is the TikTok content for the rest of the week. Just you doing your hair.
God, I don't know what anything is.
Is this your room?
This is my room. I have recently moved in here, maybe like a week ago.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy? You'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Here, what's the best game where you swing from a rope? And what's the best game where you batter the Pope?
Like I said, you will find out in this here podcast.
Hello and welcome to VG247's Best Games Ever podcast, where we attempt to find the best game within a very specific category. For example, this week we're looking for the best cyberpunk game that isn't Cyberpunk 2077, inspired, of course, by the imminent release of Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty, which is supposed to be the true arrival of Cyberpunk 2077 as envisioned by its creators, unshackled from the restrictions of last-gen hardware and finally allowed to become the game it was always intended to be. Special thanks to PS4 users for funding a game that they never got to actually play. Speaking of getting left behind, I'm joined today by Tom Ori. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I just got distracted because Connor chose that moment to make a very loud noise turning a light on. It's like he wasn't the focus for a second. It's like a child trying to get attention.
He wanted to give the audience a nice glimpse into the wardrobe and, you know.
I was just like, God, it's dark in my camera. What's going on? And I was like, oh, the light's off. I've just been sitting in the dark, writing all day.
Yeah, this is what people have come to expect, O'Connor. I think the day you turn up with a full lighting rig, people are going to get upset by
it. I even got one for the old room. It's like, right, I want this. But like, I moved to this new room and it's nice and like, you know, bright, and the window's not as much of an issue, so I think I need it.
Don't look like you're in a
witness protection.
Witness protection video now, at least.
Yeah, so it's better, but we'll get there. One day we'll get there. It'll be really solid.
No, it's looking good. All right, okay. How are you feeling, Tom?
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
Should I not be?
No, I'm just... You actually seem in a good mood today, which is not what I've... What, I mean, I've been working with you for on and off for 10 years now, and...
Why do I seem in a good mood? What have I done?
Well, you know, I mean, you smiled like 30 seconds ago.
Did I? Oh, sorry about that.
And Alex, you haven't been on for a little while now, because other stuff has been happening. Just every game has been released.
I was at Gamescom, and then... shitloads of stuff was going on. Stuff is still going on. Like, we were talking about this before we recorded, right? Like, I don't know when this is going out relative to when we record, but it's just like stuff in for review, stuff releasing that they haven't deigned to give us review copies of.
Yeah.
That's the Pokemon DLC. Maybe we should do a blog post, where's our Pokemon DLC review? Have a good old cry about it. But there's a lot of stuff. I don't know. They just haven't sent that out. Pokemon can be funny like that sometimes. Sometimes you get stuff, sometimes you don't. But it's just a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff to do, isn't there?
It's like,
I'm sure you guys are all really busy as well.
It's a really, really wild period right now where like tons of stuff is coming out like back to back to back to back to back. It's like insane.
This feels like the 360 days. I feel like we've basically been in a bit of a drought for like almost 6 years, and now everything's coming out at once.
Because like, I think, if I'm wrong, it feels like obviously COVID had a massive impact on dev, and then you got all the rewards of like these delays and like extended things, people just like holding stuff back and taking more like time on stuff, and it just feels like this is like the
Gamescom. I'm not gonna quote someone by name,
sure,
in case they don't want me to, but I was with like the boss of a studio that's released one of this year's big successful games, and they were saying that we were talking about how crazy the year is, and they were saying, don't expect this to happen again. This is literally just the dividend of COVID. Yeah. They were like, next year might be a little bit hot, but it won't be as good as this year, and then we'll be back to normal. And that probably is
the
correct hypothesis. And I'm not going to argue with someone who's probably just made hundreds of millions off a highly successful game.
That does make sense. It's mad, though, because, like, you know, back in the 360 days, we were getting, like, we were getting, like, a Baldur's Gate and a Starfield, like, once a month. But, yeah, never mind. It's good to... The getting's... I've forgotten the phrase. I'll cut this bit out. It's good to strike while the iron is hot.
What are you trying to say?
Listen.
Something about the while the getting's good or something?
Something about while the getting's good. I don't know. My brain has stopped working. I keep mentioning this. There's a baby in the other room, and my brain has turned to mush as a result. There's a direct causal relationship between those two things. All right, okay. Right, let's get on with it. There's been lots of Cyberpunk games that aren't Cyberpunk 2077. Not many of them have Cyberpunk in the name. I'm really, really curious to see what everyone's picked, especially you, Alex, because obviously you're a massive RPG guy. What have you got for us?
Is it an RPG?
You know,
on the SNES?
It isn't. And I thought about this a lot because, like, you know, a lot of people would have perhaps thought I might pick Final Fantasy VII for this. No, I actually think that's more Steam than Cyber, really. I ummed and ahed a lot because there's a Cyberpunk game I really love that is really... that is really unique, and I want to give it a shout out even though it isn't my pick, because I know no one else would have picked this. There's a game, I don't know exactly how you would pronounce it, but I call it Valhalla, but it's VA-11 HALL-A. And it's a little adventure game set in a cyberpunk bar, and obviously bars are just such a huge part of cyberpunk settings. You know, afterlife in cyberpunk is a great example of that. And you're just the bartender and you're meeting all these characters. And what I love about it in particular is there are no dialogue options. You're influencing the plot and things are branching and stuff like that, but your only action is to make drinks. So that's your dialogue option. And depending on what drinks you're making for what people, it changes the storylines, what's happening in the world, what the characters are doing, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all nonlinear, so you can do everything in any order. And it's really good, so I want to give that a shout out. And that's on like PC and Mac.
Is that not your pick?
It's not my pick, but sometimes on this podcast you've got to. I came so close to picking this game because it is really good, and it always feels really nice to pick a lovely indie game. You know, on this podcast, it's because you might introduce someone to something as opposed to picking big game. But I have picked a big game because there is a game that I just love. I've talked about it on the podcast before, and it's Perfect Dark. right, at the end of the day, here's all I'd say about Perfect Dark is a few things. One, it's better than GoldenEye. Everybody was obsessed with... The GoldenEye re-release is coming. Oh, we want this. We want this. This is going to be important. This is the most important game. This is the game that introduced us to shooters. This is what we played in our college dorm rooms and all this old man crap. But here's the truth. They made a sequel to GoldenEye and it was better than GoldenEye. Not by a little bit either, by a lot. There is not a single thing... except for, like, you know, the trappings of the Bond universe that are unique to the Bond universe, that GoldenEye does, the Perfect Dark doesn't do better. You know, the guns, the, you know, you could argue, I guess to some extent, you could go, wow, the GoldenEye stories, because some people really dislike where Perfect Dark goes, and this comes back into my Cyberpunk argument. But, yeah, I just think it's a tremendously... special game. I think the protagonist is great. I think the mission structure and the non-linear nature of it, it's sort of got a bit of an RPG edge to it in that sense, even though it's an FPS with a mission-based structure. But the thing I really love about it is it's a cyberpunk game with a little bit of a difference, which is that compared to Deus Ex or whatever, or Cyberpunk, or most of the genre, it doesn't stop short at talking computers and people's consciousness being downloaded into AI and corporations, shitty corporations, all that sort of stuff, and espionage. It does that for the first half of the game. And then the second half of the game is this clash, genre clash of cyberpunk and an alien thriller. And it mixes all the cyberpunk up with, it asks the question of, in a cyberpunk near future, what does Area 51 look like? Once the corporations become involved in Roswell and all that sort of stuff. And I just love that. That's the element of, with this reboot, I really hope they don't lose that aspect, because the really easy thing to do with Perfect Dark would be to go, we're going to ground it. And grounding it means no aliens, no greys wearing, Stars and Stripes waistcoats. We're going to get rid of all that stuff. No evil lizard people. And we're just going to focus on the cyberpunk core. But I actually think the way it mashes up the two genres is genuinely really, really quite special. So, yeah, I really hope the reboot isn't shit. And that trailer that they did, obviously there's no hint of a video game in there, but at least from a story perspective, it appears to be about climate change. And if it's going to be this thing where the climate change problem has been sped up or even potentially caused or worsened by aliens, and the corporations are tied up in that, that's sort of where I hope that goes. Remember that Doctor episode with the Santarans, David Tennant, Series 4, where they're trying to shut the planet?
When there's that kid who's like, you've got the portal in his room, in his big fancy mansion.
Yeah, yeah, but the Santaran plan is they're trying to use pollution, they're helping humans to pollute the planet in order to ruin the atmosphere so it can be a perfect planet for them or whatever. That's what I want from the Perfect Dark reboot, something like that. So it's Perfect Dark. It's a great cyberpunk game. It's a great cyberpunk universe. And I just think it's got that iconography. Like, if you've played that game and you then go and watch the trailer for the new one, which will probably be out in like 2030 or something. If you go and watch that trailer, though, it's got that cyberpunk iconography where, much like a lot of the iconography from Blade Runner, you see the laptop gun and you see that Datadyne logo, which is just two letters in a stylized fashion. And if you know that logo, you go, fuck yeah. And so that's why it's Perfect Dark.
It's a great pick. Like,
I wasn't sold on that pick. It's fine. It's fine. I mean, I do like Perfect Dark, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean,
you can't, but you just can't let this stand.
It's just a bit silly, isn't it? The alien.
See, Tommy's the type of boring person I'm talking about.
It's a bit silly. I mean, there's no silly characters in James Bond ever, is there? So, I mean...
because I'm really, once again, I'm really, really interested in what you're going to pick, Connor. Can we... Mm-hmm. I don't mean to imply that I'm doing these in order of how interested I am, Tom, by leaving you last. I'm just saying. Connor, what have you picked? Because... And knowing the kind of games that you're into, I can't imagine what it's going to be.
Well, cyberpunk's an interesting sort of thing to pick around because it can mean so many things, right? Yeah. Obviously, the first thing you go to is like Cyberpunk 2077 and like what that thinks of cyberpunk, like augmentation and how society's kind of trash. Then I thought about Shadowrun, you know, orcs and stuff, a bit more of a fantasy spin on it, you know? I thought about Blade Runner, and I was thinking about, well, is there a game in my mind that tries to sort of capture of an interesting spin on that private eye going through sort of like a futuristic, kind of dirty,
world? Did you pick the Blade Runner game?
No. I picked Tesla Effect, a Tex Murphy adventure.
Okay, I thought you were going to pick like Detroit Become Human then, and I was going to get in my car and drive to your house and give you a kicking.
I did pick that for something in the past, right? I think
Yeah, you did.
I think it was the game that you're going to fire into space to show aliens, not that they need to blow us up or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but we should need to be blown up. So that will never be picked again. It's gone now, forever. Now I've won with it. It's off the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was Tesla Effect, a Tex Murphy adventure. It is a FMV adventure game. Mm-hmm. It was a kickstarted sequel, the sixth game in a series of a collection of quite old point and click adventure games from like the 80s and 90s.
I was really into these when I was a teenager, so careful.
No, I mean, they look great. The older ones look fantastic. the reason why I picked the sixth one is because I kind of like the fact that I like the character of Tex. I like how he's kind of like a, like, there's down on your luck and there's really down on your luck. Like, he's now like a funny but sort of drunken, divorced, sort of private eye, kind of like stumbling his way around this kind of world he's in. I think it kind of, for me, it captured that sort of like Rick Decker sort of attitude to cyberpunk without getting anywhere near too heavy and stuff. It's kind of got a lighthearted feel to it. And I think it's quite, you know, charming. And I think it's quite interesting. And that's why I've picked it.
Did you play this, Connor?
I played it for 5 minutes.
I was surprised if you were going with a cyberpunk FMV game. Come back to Detroit slightly. I'm quite surprised you didn't pick Omicron. Oh, the game with David Bowie in it.
Oh god, I could never.
I did actually think about that.
I could never. That game is like super garbo, like horrible.
I tell you what, I'm glad you didn't pick the actual Blade Runner game because it's shite.
I've also never played that.
Yeah,
but it's, I hear it's bad.
I don't think it was that bad.
People go on about how good it is because they half remember from playing it in the 90s. And then they did a remaster and it didn't review very well, funnily enough. Tex Murphy. I like how Tex Murphy, the game I really got into was Under a Killing Moon.
Yeah, that was when they first got the new writer and you kind of made Tex.
Yeah, yeah.
Who he is.
And it was kind of like, it's weird because it got really kind of serious in some bits, but it wasn't like played for laughs in it or anything, but it was like the comedy sort of almost a comedy parody of Blade Runner, but it didn't sort of descend into farce too often. But then as I'm saying that, I'm remembering like weird killer clowns and stuff. So maybe it was more farcical than I remember. But I used to love like just exploring in it. It was one of these games. It was like a combination of FMV and a 3D environment.
Yeah.
And you could fuck around with Tex's fax machine in his office and stuff. And the idea that you would have a fax machine in like the 2030s was like, you know, funny in and of itself.
Yeah.
I remember trying to play that game. I got the GOG version quite recently. And that game had like a lot of, there was never any standardized things for these sorts of games in the DOS era. It had like a system configuration thing where it would check how fast your CD-ROM drive was and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Right. And it would tell you like,
that's something that kids these days won't understand.
Is yeah, it? I understand the words you said, but I can't quite picture.
You did actually have sometimes your disk drive was too slow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't it like span too slow?
Yeah, yeah, literally.
Speed just wasn't fast enough.
Yeah, so you
nobody
had, like,
even has a disk drive in their PC anymore.
No.
I had to buy a disk drive in order to burn a DVD for my partner's grandpa. Nice. To buy an external one because I just don't own a single device anymore that you can even put a CD in, apart from the Xbox and PS5.
I was the Xbox, the consoles are the only things in my house now that play audio CDs. I've got the audiobook of Tony Blair's autobiography, which was given to me
Journey.
It was given to me as a joke gift one year, right? And I've never been able to listen to it. And I was like, I wonder if this will work in the Xbox. And there he was talking about how they defeated the Tories, and it was like, wow, he's in the room. Anyway, I didn't listen to the whole thing.
My favourite thing about that book, in a classic example of just next level hubris, is that when it was announced, it was called The Journey. And then after a huge backlash, they renamed it to A Journey.
A Journey, yeah. Brilliant. 2 seconds. I've got to get it.
What you need to do is rip a little bit and insert. You really need to rip a little passage of it and insert a little passage into the pod for the people to, you know, enough that you don't, that it's fair use. Was it 20 seconds?
Oh, yeah, I might cut to it right now.
On the 2nd of May 1997, I walked into Downing Street as Prime Minister for the first time. I had never held office, not even as the most junior of junior ministers. It was my first and only job in government.
Tony Blair, a journey. So that was given to me by my flatmates on like my 34th birthday or something.
Brilliant.
And
it screams you. It's so you.
Yeah, because I'm such a fucking centrist. All right, so yeah.
You know, I looked at Tesla Effect and I was like, oh, it's an FMV game. When did this come out? Like 2002, maybe. And it's like, no, it's came out in 2014 after Kickstarter. Yeah. Like, what does an FMV game look like in that sort of, you know, day and age? And it looks pretty good. Yeah, no, it was just really great for the 10 minutes I played with it. And I'm very excited to play some more.
You're not going to play any more, Tex Murphy. Don't even pretend.
I like to. He seemed like an all right guy.
I was surprised when that came back.
Did you play it?
No, actually. I was working. I was working for Tom then, actually, when it came out. And I think I brought it up in the office and I got a really thorough slagging off from everyone. So I never talked about it ever again. So
why? What's wrong with Tex Murphy, Tom?
I'm not having FMV coverage on my website.
It was just the, you know, the culture of bullying that Tom engendered. I'm joking. No, that's not true. That's not true. He didn't. That was a joke. So, yeah. I love Tex Murphy, but I've never played Tesla Effect. So I think it probably is the best Tex Murphy game just because the previous ones were really hampered by the technology they had to work with.
Yeah.
So I imagine Tesla Effect.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, post-World War III, nuclear war, San Francisco, mm-hmm. Private Eye investigating stuff with his gun, his whip.
Yeah.
It's very, in my mind, that's what cyberpunk kind of...
Yeah, and also not a Fallout game, so...
No, I mean, yeah, not a Fallout game, which is hard. You know.
Which I'm sick of. Are you going to EGX at the Excel Centre in London this year? If so, VG247's podcast, the best games ever podcast by VG247, is having its second ever live show on Friday at 4:30 p.m. That's on the 13th of October, Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th! It's a show where me and a panel composed of my colleagues attempt to find the best game within a very specific category. For example, on this live show, we'll be asking the question, what's the best game that's really embarrassing to be into? We're thinking like Destiny 2 or Sonic or something like that. Horizon Zero Dawn, that's pretty embarrassing to be into. PS1 Strip Poker. As with last year, we're really looking forward to getting the audience involved. And if you make a suggestion that we find funny or brilliant or just stupid enough to be notable, you stand the chance to win one of a selection of really good prizes. I'll throw you them here. Firstly, Tony Blair, A Journey, as read by the author, which comes on 13 audio CDs. And you can play that on the Xbox Series X. I've tried it. Fighting Ireland by Conor Macker, a book about fighting Ireland. A set of Star Trek playing cards. Actually, no, I'm keeping them. You're not getting them. The Lies of P Physical Deluxe Edition on PS5, as featured in a previous video.
This patient, go and get a knife. Some kind of box cutter. Ow!
And this is a game that VG247 infamously gave 2 stars out of 5, so that's the VG247 seal of quality there. So to recap, if you're at EGX at the Excel Centre in London on Friday the 13th of October, you want to come to the EGX Theatre at 4:30 p.m. and help us discuss a load of embarrassing games. I'm the guy who eats Cheetos with chopsticks, so I know all there is to know about being embarrassing. So come and have a tussle in my dojo. What? Will that do, Tom? All right, okay. Tom, what have you got? What did you pick 5 minutes before you sat down to record this?
I did the usual Google, and you get all the current top ones, right? Mm. I thought that one about the taxi, was it the taxi one? Cloudpunk, is it?
Cloudpunk, that's a really good
Which
game.
Which looks good. I bought it, actually. Yeah. I never played it. It's classic waste of money that I often do. But I haven't played it, so I can't pick that. I was thinking back to old games, really, because just something a bit different. Mm-hmm. And I remember a game that I was desperate to play. My PC was not good enough. I remember picking up the box in, I don't know what it would have been, like a whatever was before game, maybe Electronics Boutique or something
like
that.
Yeah,
EB. I'm picking up this huge box, looking at the back of it and looking at the spec and going, that. That's not going to run. Many times I bought games just thinking that it would just run anyway and having a miserable experience. But eventually we got a we upgraded our PC or bought a new one, I can't remember what, and I bought Syndicate Wars, which is I think it's like mid-90s, not sure exactly when, maybe a bit later than that. It came to PlayStation as well at some point, wasn't at launch, I don't think. And it's sort of isometric, it's a sequel to Syndicate, obviously, but it's like an isometric, it's hard to describe, it's like sort of RTS, but sort of like, but you're not, it's not a massive army, right? You have like a group of, what are they, mercenaries or, I think it's either like a merc type group or a religious cult, maybe. I can't remember exactly what it was, but essentially you have this sort of futuristic, very much like cyberpunk style future where you've got flying cars and all this kind of stuff, and it's very built up city environment. But you have these, what I liked about it probably at the time is it was super violent. Like, it's a very violent game. And it, like, I watched a YouTube video just before this, and it looks bloody awful now. Like, the characters are like a couple of blobs each and stuff.
Yeah.
But back, I remember looking at it in magazines before I bought it, and it was like, this looks amazing. Like, just the style of it, the all the stuff they were talking about, how you can like mod your characters or your people and stuff, give them augments and give them, what are they called? I'm not sure if they were called skins or suits or something, but you could give them like, I'm not sure it was like a buff for certain things or abilities. It was something like cool anyway. Mm-hmm. Back then it was like, this sounds really cool. But essentially it's just a isometric sort of open world zone to play. And you had to complete objectives in like how you wanted, I guess. It wasn't just go here, kill the person, go away. It was quite open in terms of how you could do stuff. You could do stuff quietly. You could do stuff loudly, just going and shooting stuff. Things would play out slightly differently if you did things differently, and it was felt very advanced for the time. I don't know if it really was, but it felt like it was. It's just a really cool game that has like that definite cyberpunk vibe to it. And then yeah, Syndicate disappeared for ages, and they did that other one that just came out, and
but it was just a first person shooter that EA did, wasn't it?
Yeah, Starbreeze, was it, or something?
Yeah.
Which looked quite nice, but I'd never played it.
I enjoyed it. I played, like, half of it. It was one of those games where you're, like, you're not really bothered about completing it, because you sort of play it for a few hours, and you're like, okay, like, I get the gist, it's fine. It was one of those sorts of, like, quite forgettable. It was all right, but it wasn't Syndicate. It was just Training on Name.
You know, I quite like that Syndicate, you know. I do like that Syndicate reboot. I do.
It came out like around the time of Human Revolution, didn't it? Like shortly after. And I think people were still like wanting a little bit of a fix of Human Revolution. So it kind of like scratched that itch for a lot of people, I think.
And I guess those guys are just now a Payday factory.
yeah.
Which is fine. Payday's good, but I wouldn't have minded more of that. But then again, EA don't make games.
No.
No, we don't.
I mean, just in general.
Yeah, but they made Immortals of Avium, didn't they? And because it like, because it tanked, the shareholders are like, well, we obviously shouldn't make games. That's a stupid idea.
An unfortunate one, that, because yeah, when I first saw that, I had a lot of positive feelings about the concept.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a great concept. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, you played a lot of that, didn't you, Connor?
I sure did.
You want to talk about it?
No.
Right, okay. That's really annoying, Tom, because that's a good pick.
It is. It's like surprisingly fantastic. Yeah.
I'm actually annoyed by that. So it's that time again, I'm afraid.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive,
as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Three really good picks here. I think you've won with Perfect Dark before, haven't you, Donaldson?
He does the same talk every time he mentions it.
No, I won with Perfect Dark on a very, very different sort of topic, which was my story about how I obtained Perfect Dark through the thievery of a Scally on my estate when I was a child. Which is a very early episode. The best game you
obtained during a crime wave. Okay. That was well remembered, Christ.
I remember all my victories.
Well, you've got the most out of anyone. We've had like 70 episodes or something, and you've got like, what, 30? I can't remember.
Yeah, but I've got to be on a bit more now because I haven't been on as much. So
yeah, people are starting to creep up.
They forget. So I need to.
People are starting to, like, even Connor's had a couple of wins in your absence.
I'm really worried.
And that's how it's bad.
Yeah, now you're back. I will never win again.
But it's like, because when you were away for a bit, Bill Cliff thought he would like very quickly climb up the ranks, and he just did like nothing. He tries to game
the system too much.
Yeah. People started seeing through it. People were like, nah. Tom's convinced he scripts everything.
He does, doesn't he? Well, at least he workshops things. Like, I think he has certain ideas and things he's going to say that he tests. Doesn't he, beforehand?
Yeah, he does.
It's like, when comedians go and do small gigs, right? They're going to do small gigs first, and then they go and do the big tour after they've done the tests.
You think he's trying this out on other podcasts before he comes on this?
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, he just probably stands in front, sits his poor wife down on the sofa, and stands in front of her and gives his podcast spiel. Yeah.
It's not fair, really. You should take into account wife advantage on this podcast.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Right, okay. So, Perfect Dark's a great game, but I'm not going to pick it. Sorry. Sorry, Alex.
What's the reasoning? Why aren't you picking it?
Yeah. I think one of the other options is better, but I don't think it's a bad pick at all. The thing, it's one of those genuinely annoying ones where it is three genuine good picks. And I know every time I say that, Connor kicks off. Because I say that every time. I don't say that every time. There's been at least one occasion where I've said they're all shit.
Surely Perfect Dark should be second in this list, right?
Yeah, I reckon so.
It should be first, but
Tex Murphy, like, let's be serious, is not the same level as the other two, is it?
Yeah, but you're forgetting that Jim has a personal history of this game, which puts up like 50 points.
Nah, we've been down this road before, and usually you've been
folly.
I find it interesting, Tom, that you mentioned Cloudpunk, because Cloudpunk is the game I have firmly in my mind when people talk about cyberpunk games that are not cyberpunk or dare I say it, better than cyberpunk, because that game launched in a better state than Cyberpunk 2077 did. So at the time, a lot of people were like, well, hey, this is the best cyberpunk game of 2020. It is a really good game. It's not quite on the level of cyberpunk, but it's like a big voxel city. You're cutting about in a wee taxi. Everything looks like Lego. It's good. I'm gonna go for Syndicate Wars. Sorry, Connor, but
no, it's fair enough.
The thing about Tex Murphy, right, is that you can call it cyberpunk, and it's definitely got like it's got a lot of kind of stuff that it lifts from Blade Runner. But I think it is more. It's kind of like picking the Blade Runner porn parody, you know.
That was his second choice. He was about to pick that. Connor was.
Blade Shagger. But Syndicate Wars is... I don't know.
Blade Shagger. That sounds really painful.
It really sounds like, my God.
But Syndicate Wars, I loved the first game. I didn't play too much of the second one, but great games. Great Peter Molyneux joints back when he was making good stuff, right? Hmm. Did he make the second one? I'm sure the first
It was still Bullfrog, right?
Yeah, it was still Bullfrog.
That can be deceiving because there's lots of stuff Bullfrog did that he was barely involved with. Like Theme Hospital, he barely touched it.
Probably annoyed people who worked on it. Syndicate Wars, it's a great like cyberpunk setting, and it has all that stuff that people love from Human Revolution, the augment politics, and it was a really striking artwork in the screen where you chose your augments and stuff, this kind of like futuristic human kind of endoskeleton, and it was it was quite freaky, just lots of really kind of striking images and people kind of going around. And I wonder if this is why, you know, because this is like before like the trench coat mafia and all that kind of shit happened, like it was guys going around, and you played four guys going around in trench coats just fucking shooting everything. Probably a little bit controversial now, certainly would have been in like after the late 90s, but yeah, a striking, horrifying vision of the future, a tech dystopia, probably the best game of the three. I don't know if Alex would agree with that.
Okay, now at that point you've kind of
but yeah, Tom, yeah fair enough, Tom. Unfortunately, Tom's won this, so at least that person who had a go at me for not picking you, or has a go at me for not picking you every fucking week, is going to be happy now, right? And they're not going to have a go at me in the comments.
They probably find something.
Well, what you've done is you've fostered like these vicious fan bases for each of us. So you'll never ever ever be free of this.
What do you mean for each of us?
I'm sure I've got like one guy. Tom's got like three guys. Everyone just like, it's like Alex gets like a few. It's like every
Tom's
time...
guy is just him running a VPN.
It's my parole officer.
Bill Cliff is his wife. All right, okay. Thank you very much for listening or watching. Please leave us a 5-star review in your podcast platform of choice. I think we have earned it this week, haven't we? Things didn't go too off.
We lost a review last week. We went down one.
Did we lose a review?
I don't know if I didn't know that was possible, but we did. We went
they
down
must have
review.
Deleted their account. Unless they came back and specifically deleted their, like, I'm not giving them my 5 stars.
Yeah. It's my fan. It's my fan.
Yeah,
I'm so angry.
It was Kerry doing it in protest at me not picking you for the 12th time in a row. All right, okay. Next week we'll be talking about... What are we talking about next week, Tom?
I don't know. You do. You make these up.
Oh, I need to check the calendar. Next week the topic is the best ultra-violent spectacle.
That's a good topic.
In celebration of Mortal Kombat 1, which Connor's actually been playing. So... I'm sure you can't pick Mortal Kombat 1, just FYI.
I don't need to.
It's
a
bit obvious.
So many alternatives.
This is like the Andy Hamilton topic, this is.
Yeah. We should get him on. Best boomer shooter that about 12 people have played. All right, okay. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you to my wonderful panel for tuning in. And we'll see you next week. Bye. Bye.
Bye.